Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. Welcome in. Justin Kenner with you here. Quarterfinal action has officially come and gone, and we now know who will both represent the men and the women's side of the Barbasol Horizon League Men and Women's College Basketball Championships. The Final Four is set, and now we just have to wait a few days before the semifinals tip off on Monday. On the men's side, the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, the one seed. They were fortunate enough to hold off a hot Fort Wayne Mastodons team heading into that matchup, and they'll take on Cleveland State, who without their top player was able to knock off Youngstown State to set up the 1-7, the Golden Grizzlies and the Vikings. That's the 7 p.m. tip-off game, of course, at Indiana Farmers Coliseum on ESPNU. And then the second game, the Northern Kentucky Norse, they were able to get a huge come-from-behind win on the road against number 4 seed Wright State. They had to win in overtime. Another career night for Marquise Warwick. Again, just a fantastic player. He'll be leading the charge against B.J. Freeman and the Milwaukee Panthers in the 5-6. That's a 9:30 tip-off at Indiana Farmers Coliseum on Monday night. Of course, when you tune into those matchups, you're going to hear a familiar voice who's been calling the ESPN Horizon League package for many, many years now, Mr. Jordan Burnfield. Jordan, welcome on, sir. I think you have the most guest appearances on Reach the Horizon.
Wow, do I get a prize?
I don't know if there's a ribbon that comes with that or a plaque, but I'll talk to the higher-ups and see what we can do for you.
It's in the mail, right?
Exactly. Yep, exactly. But here we go. So we expected the madness. We knew once the calendar turned to March that we could expect the unexpected. And I knew there was no way in heck that there was going to be chalk. There was chalk in the first round. I knew there was no way in heck that there was going to be chalk in the quarterfinals. And, well, it did not disappoint. I mean, I'm disappointed. I call games for Wright State. I'm a little disappointed. But the league did not disappoint. Four fantastic games last night.
Yes, and I heard you guys on the call last night. And you guys did a great job, as always. And I mean, listen, it did not disappoint. It never does. And who would be surprised that you would get, you know, 5, 6, and 7 seeds winning as opposed to 2, 3, and 4 seeds? I think that, if anything, the one game that I was a little bit surprised was how, and this is no disrespect, obviously Oakland, you know, had the best regular season and, you know, was the one seed for a reason. It was well-deserved, but when they jumped out to that huge lead over Purdue Fort Wayne, I was a little bit surprised, frankly, because, you know, usually in these Horizon League tournaments, you're so conditioned to expect the unexpected that I just kind of assumed that Purdue Fort Wayne was going to go on a huge run early. They ended up making the run late and not having quite enough as, you know, the Golden Grizzlies hung on. But, you know, I think in the other games, it's set up well, too, right? Because you had rivalry games within the fact that this was also in a tournament setting, in that you saw, you know, Green Bay and Milwaukee play again. You saw Wright State and Northern Kentucky play again. I think if you're a fan of this league, you know, you can't really do much better than getting those kind of matchups in winner-take-all scenarios. And so that in and of itself made it exciting. But then to see the upsets that we saw, you know, I don't think Northern Kentucky beating Wright State is at all an upset. But I think that given that Tristan and Aruna did not play last night for Cleveland State and they won the Battle of Northeast Ohio on the road against a Youngstown State team, which I think for a lot of the year, many of us who followed this league closely thought they may be the best team in this league. That was certainly an incredible victory for Danielle Robinson's crew. And to get them back to the Horizon League semis, what is it, 4 years in a row now? Brilliant, brilliant win for them. And, you know, Milwaukee, we said it on the air last week when we were up at Panther Arena against Green Bay in their last matchup. This Milwaukee team is dangerous, man. I mean, they are good. They've had a lot of injuries this year, but I think the way Bart Lundy's team is playing right now, you know, it's not surprising that they have gotten to this Final Four. So I think it sets up really well. It's going to be an exciting Final Four. David and I were talking about the games just this morning and last night, and we're fired up for what should be a great couple of days in Indy.
No, the one interesting thing about the four quarterfinal games from yesterday, the 4-5 Wright State, Northern Kentucky, that was the only matchup that featured an opponent that held two wins over that opponent heading into this matchup. Oakland, Fort Wayne had split. Youngstown, Cleveland State split. And Green Bay, Milwaukee split during the regular season, of course. And there was that narrative floating around that it's tough to beat a team three times and all of that heading into that. But that was just a classic, matchup between Wright State and Northern Kentucky. Every time they play, especially in postseason, it always comes down, to that final possession, it seems. We had Joe Lenardi on our afternoon show yesterday just talking a little bracketology. And we were talking about the Wright State-NKU matchup, and he was just taken back. He goes, usually that's the championship matchup. So that speaks to the depth of the league that two teams that normally square off in the title game are your 4-5. That just shows you the depth of the league this season, and it was on full display.
No doubt. I mean, listen, this league, often it is the case, right, that there is some parity in the league. But I think sometimes when we in the media say that, it unfortunately is code for some media not really following the league that closely. So it's easier to say, well, anyone can win this league when you haven't followed it as closely. And I think that this particular year, it should surprise no one that the results are the way they are, because there really were 7 or 8 teams that could potentially win this league. I mean, I think obviously Oakland had a great year, but would it have shocked you if Purdue Fort Wayne had won last night? I don't think it would have shocked me. We saw them play a lot of really good games this year, and the style in which they play makes them a very tough team to play against. Wright State and Northern Kentucky, as you mentioned, have been two of the best teams in this league, for the past 5-7 years. But I don't think that, either one of these teams, there wasn't much that separated them from the top in this league this year, given how deep the conference is. And so, I think that what we saw in your game in particular last night, Justin, was, Wright State has a wonderful, group, and they obviously have two 2,000-point scorers on the floor together, which, how often do you see that in college basketball, especially these days? But I think that the way things transpired at the end of regulation, with Northern Kentucky getting the late basket on the failed closeout and then, closing in overtime, I think what we saw this year was a Wright State team that, while incredibly talented with a great coach and some great players, they had moments where they, defensively things did not work for them. And Northern Kentucky, I think what has made this program what it has been, which is almost dynastic in a league of parity, is that at this time of year, when they need to lock in and make a defensive play or make a play on the offensive end of the floor, they do it, right? And I think we saw it happen in front of your eyes live last night, late in regulation and then in overtime. And for Wright State, as talented an offensive team as they were this year, the areas in which they struggled defensively, I think, in the biggest moments, it came back to bite them. And, this Northern Kentucky program, it's just remarkable. I mean, to get back to the Final Four when they haven't had Sam Vincent, you just didn't know if they could recover from that. And, are they going to win it? I don't know. But could they? Absolutely. And it speaks to the culture that program has and what, John Brannon before him and now Darren Horn has continued to build.
Yeah, no doubt. And again, Northern Kentucky in the history of the Barbasol Horizon League Men and Women's College Basketball Championships being held in Indianapolis, back in the day, less than 10 years ago, for Motor City Madness in Detroit. Ever since transitioning over to Indianapolis, NKU is the only team to make it to the Final Four in every year of the Indianapolis existence. As far as that's concerned, so the consistency definitely speaks for itself, no doubt about it. So the semifinals are set. You're going to be on the call on ESPNU on Monday night for the first one, Oakland and Cleveland State, the one seed Oakland, the one of the only top four seeds. We talked about the importance all season of fighting to get to the top four. It's wild that only one of the top four actually punched their ticket to the final four. Got to give it to Greg Campy in Oakland, though. Oakland has consistently, since its arrival in the league, has always been the most, I think that they've always had the most talent. I mean, as far as just how many pieces they've had on their roster that, you know, are almost NBA type of style guys, but they've never been able to put it together. This team's not as stacked as years past, but probably the best team that Oakland has had in quite some time. And that's why they won the regular season, and they're looking to cap it off with the tournament title as well. They've never made the NCAA tournament as a member of the Horizon League, and they're in pretty good shape to do so.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's a lot of truth in what you said, and not only NBA-style guys, but actual NBA players,
guys,
right?
Yeah.
Think about, you know, Kay Felder and Kendrick Nunn and Jamal Kane. That's three guys. And not just, you know, making it into the NBA, but actually contributing to the NBA. Certainly in the case with Kendrick Nunn was, you know, an excellent player for several years in the NBA. I mean, you're right. You know, I know, having covered Coach Campy for many years, and just getting to know him the way I have, I know how much this has been on his mind, and trying to get to the NCAA tournament representing the Horizon League and the talent that they've had and coming up short in sort of wild fashion in some of these years in the Horizon League tournament. I think about the year that Drew McDonald hit that three that sunk Oakland when they had a chance to get to the top and win the Horizon League championship. I think about Jordan Kaufman for Youngstown State several years back when, you know, on a broken play they find him underneath, and Youngstown State, which was a team that, you know, was kind of hard on their luck all year, got a shocking win over Oakland. So there have been times when, you know, they've had a tremendous group and just have come up short. I think what you said, though, might be right in that when you look at Oakland's team, they may not be as top-heavy this year, and that is obviously to take nothing away of the accomplishments of their top-end guys. I mean, listen, Trey Townsend won the only player of the year for a reason. He's a phenomenal player, and he's Oakland through and through. And, you know, with Lampman and Golkey and some of these role players, I mean, look at what DQ Cole did in the first half last night with 14 points. You know, but they have depth that I don't know that they've had in recent years. And you know, Camp has talked about that, right? I mean, listen to what he said last night after the game. He goes, "We got a lot of dudes, man." And he's he's right. They do. They have depth that they have not had in previous years. And I think that the depth that they've had, the sum of their parts, has made them a dangerous team because they can withstand a lot that perhaps they may not have been able to as easily in the past. So, you know, listen, I don't know if Tristan and Aruna is going to play in Monday's game. It would stand to reason that Cleveland State needs him out there to win this game. However, you know, if you had told me going into last night that Cleveland State would be without and Aruna at Youngstown, I wouldn't have given them much of a chance, frankly. So what they were able to do was remarkable. And when you're the underdog in this tournament, Justin, as you well know, for covering it for a long time yourself, there's a lot of power in that, and we've seen a lot of underdogs do really well in this tournament. So, you know, I think Greg Campy's team certainly is in a good position, given the way things have broken for them. But we'll see. And, you know, perhaps this is the year for him and for the Golden Grizzlies to represent the Horizon League. Camp has had an incredible career, of course, and I think that this would be really special for him and for that team. So that's certainly one of the big storylines we'll be discussing on Monday night in the semis.
Yep, and then the other semifinal matchup, I know we touched on these two teams and how they performed in the quarterfinals, but now going head-to-head again, Northern Kentucky-Milwaukee, that's your nightcap, of course, a 9:30 tip-off at Indiana Farmers Coliseum. You and Mr. Padgett will have the call on ESPNU for Game 1, but the second game will be on ESPN2, a late tip-off for that one. Northern Kentucky-Milwaukee, Northern Kentucky, the reigning defending Horizon League, the Barbasol Horizon League men's basketball champions, of course, looking to get back to the championship game and looking to get back to the NCAA tournament. Northern Kentucky-Milwaukee, another good one as well.
It's a really good matchup, and I think for Bard Lundy's team, you know, we just saw Milwaukee last week, as you know, when we had them against Green Bay. And I know that last year when Milwaukee sort of burst onto the scene as this team, and it went with a first-year coach and ended up with the 2 seed in the Horizon League tournament, and then you think about how things went for them in their Horizon League semifinal game when they just fell flat you know, immediately in that game and got blown out, you know that's going to be on their mind. And they had a little bit of a struggle a couple of games ago when they were at IUPUI just to survive that game at Indiana Farmers Coliseum. So I think that being back in that building, they have something to prove this time that they, you know, that that will be on their minds as they go into that game. But like I said, you know, I think that this is a team that has had some injuries, but they've got some awfully good players on that roster. BJ Freeman is one of the best players in the Horizon League. And I think that when you look at what Milwaukee's season was in totality to this point, you know, because of the injuries, they were trying to mix and match lineups. I mean, they've had 19 different starting lineups this year. You know, they've been trying to figure it out all year. But, you know, as we know, it comes down to 3 or 4 days in March. And right now, they're a really dangerous team. And so, you know, I think that they're a lot to deal with. But on the other side, how can you bet against what Darren Horn and Northern Kentucky have done, especially at this time of year, right? I mean, it would be crazy to do so. And their program and the culture that they've built, you know, has allowed them to succeed at this time of year. And when you have a player in Marquez Warrick who, you know, is now the all-time leading scorer in Northern Kentucky history and is one of the best players in the Horizon League in many years, you know, this guy is phenomenal. And knowing him and knowing that program the way that we have over the years, you know, if you're gonna take him out, you got to give everything you got, you know, because that kid and those players are just really tough to beat at this time of year. And, you know, I think that's what has made these games so fascinating, obviously, is what's on the line for these kids and these programs, you know, with so many great players coming to the end of their collegiate time. And so, you know, if you're going to take out Marquez Warrick and Darren Horn and, you know, Trey Robinson and, you know, look at what Pettis has done and all these guys for Northern Kentucky, you got to give it everything. So I think that game's going to be fascinating.
No doubt. Two fantastic games, two great semifinal matchups to set up what is sure to be a fantastic championship, you know, matchup on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, the tip off there, a chance to punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. It's the Barbasol Horizon League Men's Basketball and College Championships in Indianapolis at Indiana Farmers Coliseum. Quite the word jumble there, but looking forward to hearing Jordan Burnfield, who's our guest on this edition of Reach the Horizon. He'll be on the call, of course, like he's been on the Horizon League package all season long. You were on the call for the championship games last year as well, which I'm glad to see. Look, you call these games all season. I love that you're capping it off too, you know, in the postseason as well, and there's no better way to send it off than Tuesday night in the championship game. Jordan Burnfield. Jordan, thank you so much, sir. We appreciate your time, and I know this won't be the last time we have you on the podcast, that's for sure.
No, my pleasure. And now, if I'm really your most frequent guest, then I'm going to have to put some distance between me and whoever's second, right? So anytime you need me for the podcast, glad to join you.
Well, I mean, look, you remember a while back it came out that, you know, Pat McAfee, he pays his guests, you know, money to come on his show. I'm just not as, you know, financially set as old Mr. Pat McAfee. Let's just be real. So
I'm not getting seven figures to come on the podcast?
No, but neither am I.
I'll come on anytime you want.
Yeah. All right, Jordan Burnfield, awesome enough to give us some time. Jordan, thank you.
Thanks, my friend. Talk to you soon.
All right, Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League.